You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Football Friday. We've got NBA basketball. And, oh, yeah, we've got the World Series as well. We're going to be breaking it all down. We're even going to talk some college football. Steve Merrill steps up and in. We'll talk college football. We'll talk Major League Baseball. And how about a little NASCAR? Down to the Elite Eight right now on the NASCAR circuit, the chase for the cup. We haven't forgotten you, NASCAR. The Super Lock of the Week with Pat Mayo. Pat Mayo joins me in studio. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, is hot tonight. So we talk some hot roster fantasy matchups. So we've got you covered. I've got a Millionaire Maker lineup for you. I've got a ton of bets. We've got some college bets. We've got some NBA bets, and we've got some baseball bets as well. As you know, I want to apologize to everybody in Chicago. Well, that's not true, really. I don't really want to apologize to people in Chicago, but I'm getting a lot of hate. I just want to clarify, you know, like in newspapers, you know, the writer just writes the story, yet the headline, the headline are done by a jackass editorialist. And our jackass editorialist here, of course, would be cameraman too, camera Drew. So, I said that Joe Buck sucked. All right, I said that Joe Buck sucked, and I said that paying $1,500 to get into a bar to watch a game sucks. I never said Chicago sucks. Like, did I ever say that? I never said, "Oh, the city of Chicago sucks." I did say the city of Chicago was corrupt. I did say the fact that Hillary Clinton was from Illinois was reason enough to cheer against the Cubs. All things that I stand by. But I never said the city of Chicago sucks. Great town, great town. Hey, it's a good town. And, you know, don't hate me, Chicago. I bet on the Bears all the time, guys. I bet on the Bears all the time. And I'm worried about that game this week. That might be a survivor suicide shakeup, huh? The Vikings. Can they get back on track? The Vikings. All right, so we've got a ton of stuff to get to, ton of picks to get to. I'm in a lot of trouble, too. I need some wins. You know, we had a nice night last night. We gave you some wins. Titans roll. Game goes over the number. A lot of things fell into place for us last night, but that Cal game did not. Son of a bitch. You know, that's all you can really say. Son of a bitch. You know, we've got Cal plus 20 points. They lose by 21. What are you going to do? We've got the over 73.5. It lands on 69. And of course, both plays were correlated as Cal ended the game on the USC 8-yard line with two straight incomplete passes. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, didn't. Hey, it's a cold ass world, isn't it? All right, so let's get down to business. It's week 8 of the National Football League, and it's time for some bold predictions for you all. All right, I don't think it's very bold to tell you that a 6.5-point favorite, especially when that favorite, the New England Patriots, are going to win a football game. How bold is that? Oh, hey, the Patriots are going to win a football game. Well, not only are the Patriots going to win this game, how about this for bold? The Patriots are going to hang 50-plus on the Bills. They're going to hang a 50 spot. You think Negan was pissed in The Walking Dead? Wait till you see Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Gronkowski, and company on Sunday. Let's just do a recheck here. Buffalo Bills went into Foxborough last month. Jimmy Garoppolo was supposed to be playing. Jacoby Brissett got the start at the last second. The Bills were coming off that big win against Arizona and suddenly just beat the crap out of the New England Patriots. But they started a fight before the game. They talked smack continuously during the game. After the game, various Bills went on social media to troll the New England Patriots for getting shut out after the fact. And listen, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, these guys wake up angry as it is, all right? Brady already hates the league, has a grudge, and Belichick hates the world and has a grudge. How do they do in revenge games? How's like 14-0 sound? Last 14 times Brady's pissed off, 14-0 straight up, 12-2 against the spread. The Buffalo Bills asked for it. Well, you're going to get it right now. And it really pains me because I've watched every Buffalo Bill game since like 1978. I love the Buffalo Bills. And I rarely bet against them. And I hate betting on the Patriots because I always lose when I do. But this is going to be a slaughter, my bold prediction. The Patriots hang a 50 spot. That's pretty bold. But you want bolder? You want bolder? I'll give you bolder. The Cleveland Browns are going to win this weekend. That's right. We're riding the magic, the wave of the city of Cleveland. Mistake by the lake. No more. Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, had their little ring ceremony and their banner stuff. The Cleveland Indians are going to lose the World Series. But nevertheless, it was a hell of a ride while it lasted. If the Cleveland Browns can't win this weekend against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the New York Jets on a week that the sporting gods are, you know, smiling down on the city of Cleveland, that ain't ever happening. I like the fact that it's Kevin Hogan at quarterback. You know, we've seen a trend this year with quarterbacks and nobody knows who they are. He's a smart kid out of Stanford, good quarterback. We've seen a trend of quarterbacks making their first start in a National Football League. Get it done. Ryan Fitzpatrick, being the selfish douche that he is, of course, was upset last week. You guys don't believe in me. Hey, shut up, Fitz. We actually won it for the first time in a month. But, of course, it's about you. And you know what? It's going to be about you again, because the Cleveland Browns are going to beat the New York Jets, and Hugh Jackson's finally going to get a damn W. You want bolder? I got more boldness for you. All right? I got more boldness for you. We're going to lay it down on the San Diego Chargers. Last week, we told you to take the San Diego Chargers outright. I told you they would win the game on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. They did win the game on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. They're going to win on the road again this week. The Denver Broncos going to be flatter than a Hillary Clinton speech this Sunday. San Diego's going to roll in there. And Philip Rivers playing the best football of his career right now. Dude's got, you know, a bunch of, you know, hacks at the wide receiver position going up and down the field. Don't look now. Melvin Gordon's getting it done. I'm not buying into Trevor Siemian. He's not outscoring. He's not outscoring Philip Rivers in this spot. There's a bold prediction for you. The Chargers win this game outright. And I'll tell you what, if they don't win a game outright, they're going to cover the spread, as Mike McCoy is now 12-1 against the spread on the road when getting four or more points. And we're getting four or more points in this spot. All right, what else do we have for you as far as boldness? We're going to wrap it up. This is pretty bold here. Now, technically, it's not really bold telling you that a 2.5-point favorite's going to win a football game, but this is a bold prediction. Brock Osweiler won't suck rocks. And Brock Osweiler will actually lead the Houston Texans to victory. You know, you look at Osweiler's numbers, he only averages like, four, you know, yards per passing attempt on the road. The Chicago Cubs batting average in the playoffs is equivalent to Osweiler's like passing attempt average on the road. But at home, he doesn't suck. He actually averages over 7 yards per passing attempt. Detroit's won 3 games in a row, but just barely. The Cinderella ride comes to a close this weekend for Stafford, going back to his home state. He loses. Brock Osweiler wins. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to, and like George and Costanza in Seinfeld. Morenci's getting upset! All right, let's do this thing. Steve Merrill's going to join us, Cam Stewart in studio. Pat Mayo with his super luck. And this is like Seinfeld. Remember the episode of Seinfeld where they have like a, every day there's like a cake party, and they all eat cake? I think there's like a cake party in this office. As soon as I start my show, they start like playing music and dancing around and making a ton of noise and start eating cake. La-di-da. Isn't this great? It's Friday. Let's eat some cake. Never mind Morenci's doing a show. Like, it's amazing. You figure, like, if I yelled loud enough, like, in the words, like, shut up, like, they would keep it down. But no, that doesn't work anymore, right? So let's go to Steve Merrill. You have to speak up, Steve. There's a cake party going on.
Huh. Oh, well, I was trying. I was waiting for that free cake.
It's pretty good, Merrill. It's pretty good.
That is one of my favorite. Morenci can't have his cake and eat it too. I got a lot of problems with you people. There's so many lines I could think of. I just went mute.
Yeah, no, exactly. You guys are pretty good because Teddy got me the other day. Teddy froze like a mannequin on Skype. I'm like, I think he's frozen. He's like, oh, I'm just messing with you.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I can't steal that now, but that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, it was great, Steve. Really, very, really made me happy. Yeah, yeah.
Especially Teddy, because Teddy, you know, Teddy's pretty low key to start with, so he plays a mannequin well. That's probably gonna be his Halloween costume.
All right, so let's jump in, Steve. We got a ton of stuff to get to. Yeah, Halloween. I guess you'll be here Monday. You're on Skype. It's your opportunity to dress up.
I didn't think about that. I like it.
I got three days
to prepare.
Why don't you just get, you've got hair, because if I had hair, I could do it, but just get like a red sweater, get like a fake mustache and glasses. You could be Ken Bone.
Ken Bone. Well, that guy became famous overnight for wearing a red sweater. Did you hear what happened? He ripped his suit because he's gained so much weight. That's why he wore the red sweater. That's a true story for that debate.
Yeah. Quickly on this, I wasn't planning on it, but pretty much moments before we came to air here, Steve, FBI throws Hillary Clinton some high heat and reopens the email investigation. Now, for them to do this 10 days before an election, 11 days before an election, is unprecedented. Never mind the fact that I said that if you applied at Taco Bell and told them, like, they ask you if you have a record, you're like, no, but I am under current investigation from the FBI. You're not getting the job at Taco Bell, but I guess you can be president. So, but the odds, Steve, I'll tell you right now, the Greek just took it off the board. They sent me a tweet. They said, we took it off the board. Other spots, it's plummeted. Trump's gone from plus 400 to the plus 250 range.
Yeah, Hillary was 82% yesterday. She's 73% now. So you're talking about a 9% drop. That's in the international betting markets, which, you know, stay live. They don't take those off the board. She's been 82, 83% before and after the last debate. It hasn't moved for several weeks. Now it's down almost 10% in one day.
And people don't even really know yet. They're at work, and they're just going to start finding out that this just broke at like 1:30 or something. It was gold, too, Steve. Trump found out when he was on stage, essentially.
Yeah, I didn't actually know until you just told me. I haven't watched the news all day long. I mean, obviously on Friday I'm doing six
shows.
No,
this
shows,
is real, too. This isn't WikiLeaks or anything like that. This is point blank. The director of the FBI announced that he reopened the email investigation. This is the damning quote. Due to new information.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I hadn't seen it yet, but the live odds within the last hour have dropped 10% because I just checked them as you were telling me that. And this is pretty crazy. And, of course, we're doing this live at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, they ain't dropping.
It's going to be airing 5:30 Eastern. They might be even lower by then.
Yeah, they ain't dropping right now because Trump's giving a good speech. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. I check them every day, Gabe. I watched Trump yesterday. He had a really good speech yesterday, and I thought he made some good points. I checked, and they don't move. You know, so it's like,
exactly.
So, like, to move 10%, this is pretty big, actually. This is actually something that could change the outcome of the election.
It really could. Like, this is real. Like, it's not, because, you know, they've done a good, the Clintons done a good job sweeping all this stuff. Oh, it's hacked. It's Russians. It's stolen. We don't comment on stolen material.
The WikiLeaks have done nothing. I mean, they haven't moved, like I said, they haven't moved a single percent in a month with all the WikiLeaks stuff. So this is substantial.
Yeah. But when the director of the FBI says you're under investigation, it's like a stock. The stock goes down.
I assume that was Comey? I assume that's Comey you're talking about? He's actually a straight arrow, and I've always liked him, and I was really disappointed the way he handled it. He looked really bad the way he handled this earlier, so I'd love to know the exact reason why this is coming out now, you know, because he's kind of a straight shooter, not really a political guy.
All right, I joked earlier in the week, Steve, that the fact that Hillary Clinton's from Illinois is reason to pull for the Indians. I really pissed people off with that, so whatever.
Yeah, but I forgot that was her reasoning for being the Cubs fan. We talked about that. I forgot she was even from Illinois.
Yeah, I know. I was just kidding about that, too. So so Indians and Cubs, I don't know, man. This seems like a juggernaut tonight, walking into a windstorm, literally and figuratively. Thing about this is Kyle Hendricks is a damn good pitcher. Like, when you look at this guy's numbers, Steve, 16-game winner on the season, rock solid in the playoffs. Look at this. He's as good as Arrieta is basically this year. Great pitcher, Kyle Hendricks. You know, Tomlin's good, but I think they're in tough here, man. And now it's back advantage in the National League Park. Francona loses one of his bats. Their lineup was already pretty weak as it is. I don't like the Indians in this spot tonight. I'm willing to lay a run and a half even.
Yeah, I mean, Hendricks on 5 days rest, so he's within his normal rotation. In fact, he's pitched two times since Tomlin last pitched 12 days of rest for him. Hendricks has pitched twice since Tomlin last pitched. So I always feel like that long rest could actually disrupt a guy who's used to being on that, you know, 4 to 5 day routine. So I actually think the shorter rest favors Hendricks here. The adjusted series odds now give the Cubs a 68% chance of winning the series. It's now a best of five with home field. They only had a 64% chance before game one without home field, and they only had a 50% chance after game one. Did a show earlier today, and they asked me the odds that they would sweep these three and clinch at home, so I did the math afterwards. And I was actually pretty accurate. I said 20% off the cuff to when I did the show earlier this week, this morning. I did the math. It comes out to about 19% chance the Cubs win all three of these games at home.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking the same thing, actually. You know what? I've actually got the laptop here. It's rare that I have it in front of me, but it's one of these days today. And see, it's like kind of 50.
Well, I've seen an advanced line for tomorrow, Gabe. They've got Tomlin going, Kubler going tomorrow. They've actually got the Indians as a slight favorite for tomorrow, -110. But I think he'd be going on 3 days of rest, so I'm not so sure that'd be a good move by Cleveland.
No, well, they're screwed. They don't have a choice. Yeah, when will series finish? When will series finish? Yeah, this is the prop I was looking for. So, yeah, basically Cubs in five, plus 250.
Yeah, I mean, I make it about a 20% chance. He should be getting 4-1, so not enough value there.
All right, I'm going to lay the run line tonight, Steve. I doubt it's close. It's going to go one way or the other, right?
Yeah, the first two haven't been. I mean, the run line's been the way to play each of the first two. The favorites won by, what was it, 6-0, and then what was the other one, 5-2 or something? I mean, they're both blowouts early on in those games.
All right, Steve, so let's talk some football. For the record, run line, Cubs -1.5, plus 100. Indians +1.5, -120. The total is 8. The money line's now 210. I don't really mind laying the 210, but I think the +100, -1.5 is a solid pick too.
Yeah, I don't like laying 210. So if you're going to play the Cubs, I'd play the run line. I'd almost maybe take the Indians on the run line as well. I like to have that extra 1.5, but in general, you're better off laying even money than 2-1 on the money line.
All right, so let's get to the football tonight. We've got Navy at South Florida. All right, what are you making about this one, Steve? Everybody's riding the wave right now, literally and figuratively with Navy. Everybody loves what they're doing, yet South Florida is laying the points in this football game. It's amazing. Navy's offense just going up and down the field right now, putting up monster numbers. Of course, we know about their rushing attack. They can throw the football a little bit, too. I like the points in this game, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, the public is actually heavy on Navy. If you look at covers.com, this is one of the most public underdogs of the week in college football. So as you know, Gabe, that's always a real red flag for me. However, I do think Navy has some advantages in this game. Both teams run the ball for over 250 yards per game. Navy, of course, runs it almost every play with the triple option. The difference, though, is South Florida has a weak run defense. Navy has a decent run defense. So it is tempting to get the running dog here, catching almost a touchdown. And as you know, Navy's been one of the best road dogs in college football for two or three decades now. They've been over 60% play on the blind as a road underdog for several decades. And it makes a lot of sense. They're a disciplined military academy. They travel well, and they run the ball. The total, though, high, 65.5 for two teams that run the ball a lot, though. That might be the one problem with the over in that play.
Yeah, you know, South Florida, though, have been an over machine. They're putting up 42 points per game. They give up 28 a game. Navy are scoring 33. They give up 25. But you're right, it's a lot of running, and that's a lot of ticking on the clock. But, of course, the clock stops at the first downs. The thing that catches my eye here, Steve, is the fact that, Temple ran for 300-plus on them last week. So if Temple can run for three, and Temple have a good ground attack, but if Temple can run for 300, Navy might get in the 400 range tonight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They ran, they gave up, I think, what was it, like 315 yards last week to Temple. So that's a huge concern. And Navy on the season actually hasn't played the same level of opponent, but they've only given up more than 180 yards once all year, I think.
All right, so it's like Aztec Fridays, man. San Diego State have slaughtered themselves.
Third straight Friday.
And it's third straight Friday. I'm like, oh, I don't know about this game. It's a lower number. The Aztecs are 6-1 straight up, but they're just 3-1 against the spread. Aggies 3-4 straight up. All three of their wins have come at home. I never realized the name of this stadium, actually. I don't know if it's recently called this, but it's Romney Stadium.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I think that's recent. Yeah,
yeah, it's after the Romney family. So, Mitt Romney. Or Mitt Romney's father, so at Romney Stadium. Aztecs blasted him 48-14 last year. But, you know, I don't really want to lay five. I don't really have a big interest in this game, to be honest. It's too bad because I like the Aztecs, but they just have weird numbers and weird games, it seems, every week.
This is the third straight week in a row they've played a Friday game. It's just bizarre. And you would think that could work in their favor, but it also could work against them because it gets to a point where it's like, this isn't a big deal anymore. You know, it's national TV. I think Utah State will be more focused for that reason. Plus, it is a thin air and altitude road trip for San Diego State, a West Coast team. So those things are working against them here. Utah State also a good defensive team. Should be a low-scoring game. Both teams good defensively. That also might favor the home dog. The concern I have with Utah State, though, is they don't throw the ball well. And if they do get behind in this game, they don't have a lot of backdoor cover potential.
Yeah, and the problem is, too, the total's 43.5. It's hard to take the under right. with a total that low. All right, let's talk about another military academy that's playing tonight. The Falcons of Air Force taking on Fresno State. Air Force are 14.5, and we've got another Fresno Friday night special here, Steve. Listen, Fresno State are 1-7 straight up, but they're actually 4-3 against the spread. You've made money if you've taken Fresno every week. Remember, they got the cover against San Diego State, the game that we talked about and that we broke down. Total's 53.5 here. I think there's going to be some points put up on the board. The Falcons score 33 a game. They give up 26. Fresno only score 20 a game, but they give up 34. As crazy as it sounds, I like the home dog in the over here.
Well, they have covered four of their last five, despite losing all five straight up, like you said. But I think Air Force comes focused here. Air Force has lost three in a row, both straight up and against the spread. They've lost all three games as double-digit favorites the last three. Normally, that'd be a huge red flag as another double-digit road favorite here. But they can run the ball. They're going to run the ball almost every play with that triple option. And Fresno has one of the worst run defenses in the country. So the fact that Air Force is off of three straight losses, it's a Friday night focus spot, and they can run the ball almost every play. I just don't see them coming as flat this week.
All right, a game that you wrote about over at coversexperts.com. You can find Steve's picks over at coversexperts.com. Arizona State and the Ducks, total 77.5 right now. Ducks laying 8. The Oregon Ducks are the only team in collegiate football that haven't covered at least one point spread this year. They're the complete money burner, Steve. They haven't covered once.
Well, and it's not a fluke. I mean, this is a team that's regressed sharply within one season, and that's the type of team you normally see fail to cover the spread, because this is a team that's been 3-4 touchdown favorites on average for a decade now. The odds makers and the betting public just can't catch up fast enough. The other problem, too, is they have a terrible defense. This total is actually down to 75.5 now in some spots, Gabe, because Arizona's quarterback has gone from questionable now to doubtful, and that's why this total's been dropping this week. But I don't think it matters. As I said, Oregon has a terrible defense this year. Arizona State really has mediocre quarterbacks first and second string. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. We actually get a little value now over 75.5.
You know, like you said, obviously Wilkins is the best guy they have right now, the quarterback position. But even when he doesn't play, they can still move the ball. They won with their backup earlier this year. You know, the Devils give up 36 points per game. And, you know, the Ducks, it's too bad for Brady Hoke. He's a good enough guy, but defensive coordinator there now. They've given up 51 or more in three straight weeks, 43 points per game on the season. All right, so we got about a minute or two here, Steve. NASCAR championship odds down to the Elite Eight. Harvick's favorite, plus 260. Logano, plus 550. Busch, Kyle, plus 550. Jimmy, 6-1. Edwards, plus 750. Hamlin, plus 750. Kenseth, plus 750. Kurt Busch, 1,400. To me, Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, and Kyle Busch are the front runners, with Denny Hamlin as a live dark horse to win the chase, Steve.
Well, it's all about the tracks coming up, because you have to advance. And two of the next three tracks, including this week, Martinsville, and then they also have Phoenix on in a couple weeks, are very flat tracks. And Kyle Busch and Carl Edwards both had top six finishes in both of those races this year. So I think right there that gives Kyle Busch and Carl Edwards maybe a better-than-average chance of advancing. Kyle Busch is obviously a big name, but not a lot of people are talking about Edwards, and we have a cookie-cutter in between. He's very good on those tracks as well. So I think a dark horse could actually be Carl Edwards to get to the Final Four at Miami.
All right, there's Steve Merrill. Check him out over at ProSportsInfo.com, on Twitter at Steve Merrill, and, of course, one of the Covers Experts. Go over to CoversExperts.com. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. All right, we've got the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We've got Pat Mayo, Super Lock. All that and more coming up next. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa, so hot tonight. But where will he be
tomorrow? Yeah, hotroster.com.
That's rock. Raging Redhead Cam Stewart in the studio. Let's get right down to business, yep. Cam. Your Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson and company coming off the 6-6 tie. It felt more like a win for the Seahawks and a loss for the Cardinals. But I think it's safe to say that the Seahawks will score more than 6 points this weekend. There's been time and time again this year, Cam, where the Seahawks have gone on the road and faltered. Interesting matchup. So a hot roster quarterback head-to-head matchup. Russell Wilson, -1.5 fantasy points versus Jameis Winston, who takes on the Oakland Raiders games in Tampa. Cam, what's your take?
Well, it's interesting. I'm a Seahawk fan, Gabe, but I got to be realistic on hot roster. I have a better situation with Winston getting 1.5. He's more consistent. You want to talk about the Saints? Yeah, they give up 19 fantasy points to QBs at the Superdome. It doesn't matter. The Raiders give up 19 on both, home and road. So I'm breaking it down. You're getting 1.5 points with Winston. Russell Wilson, he's rushed for like 30 yards this year. Winston can crush him in the rushing yards. I also think it's a great matchup versus the Raiders. Give me Winston at +1.5.
You know what? I'm with you on this one. I like Winston a lot in this game. I think it's going to be a track meet between the Buccaneers and the Raiders. You look at the Raiders, man. Raiders have given up. They're averaging over 300 yards a game in the air against. You know, everybody lights them up on a weekly basis.
Mike Evans is going to go bananas.
Oh, yeah. I love Mike Evans. I love Mike Evans from a fantasy perspective, and Winston as well. I talked about this last week, guys. You look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I was very high on them coming into the season and the progression of Jameis Winston. He's been a little erratic, very similar to Marcus Mariota, who's been erratic. Mm-hmm. We saw Mariota earlier this week light it up and play very well. They came into the league together. The bye week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came at a perfect time for them. They were able to regroup. Dirk Cutter was able to rein things in, correct some of the little mistakes that Jameis Winston was making, a little bit too careless with the football. I like Jameis Winston in this spot as well, Cam.
Yep, we're both on Winston,
as
buddy.
You mentioned, too, Russell Wilson. 33 yards rushing all year, man.
Well, Morency, and in the hot roster, you know the touchdowns are huge, like in any fantasy league. 12 touchdowns to Wilson's 5. You're up 7 touchdowns. He's doing everything better. You just can't trust Wilson. Yes, you're in a great matchup against the Saints, but the problem is Winston's got a great matchup too. Winston, and he's a dog.
Yeah, and also the Seattle Seahawks running backs might pop a couple as well. It's erratic. Russell Wilson should have a big game.
Both of them are.
But... it's a tough one.
No touchdowns.
They don't
by
make it easy over at Hot Roster.
No touchdowns by Wilson in the last 2 weeks as well, where Winston's racking up.
All right, so here's another extremely difficult one as well. Matt Ryan versus Tom Brady. Matt Ryan -1. We're getting Tom Brady in the +1 range, Cam.
Know what? I'm actually going with Matty Ice. Hot roster, yeah, I'm going the opposite with Matty Ice. I'll tell you something, Morency. Since I put on the blazer, you said I'm getting smarter. I'm just going to give you facts. The Packers D, sure, you can't run against them, but you can throw. Dak Prescott, Matt Stafford, and Sam Bradford, all 21-plus fantasy points on average against the Packers. So you can throw on these guys. They're hard to run against, so that sets up a good situation. As for the Buffalo Bills, Morency's Buffalo Bills, you know, Rex Ryan, I'm not happy what you did with the Gillislee-McCoy situation, but you do have good game plans against quarterbacks. They give up less than 13 fantasy points to quarterbacks. I understand Brady's going to be angry with the revenge factor, but Matty Ice in a better situation against the Pack. Sign me up with Matt Ryan to beat Tom Brady this week, even though Tom Brady's been a touchdown machine.
Yeah, this is a real tough one here.
You don't get Brady as a pooch very often.
But they're
both
going to light it up. I would be shocked if Tom Brady doesn't throw for at least 4 touchdown passes.
Uh-oh.
Like, I think the Patriots are scoring 50 points this week.
Oh, God. So you got to be taking Brady in the matchup then.
Well, no, but listen, hear me out on this. The Green Bay Packers, as you alluded to, their secondary's not very good. It's decimated with injuries.
Yep.
And the fact is, the Chicago Bears last week, they were moving the football, but they didn't get the chance because Hoyer got his arm broken.
And Matt Barkley's not really a quarterback.
So. No, so I think that, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go with Tom Brady on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Brady. I think Brady throws 4 touchdowns. All right, Cam Newton.
Cam! Yeah, versus Breeze?
Yeah, who that? Drew Breeze.
I think in Breezes we trust, Morency. This guy leads the NFL 17 touchdowns.
So it sounds like you like the Saints this week. You don't like Wilson, you like Breeze.
I hate to say it. Yeah, give me the 3 points. Hey, Morency, another thing about Newton. We've talked about Cam regressing. Only 8 touchdowns and 6 picks this year. That's not the Cam Newton we know. Breeze can light it up in any situation. And for all the people saying, oh, yeah, you could do it against Seattle. They're a tough defense. Well, he did it against Kansas City. And Big Ben Roethlisberger, I'll tell you one thing. He lit up a good defense, too. So the thing about it is I like the situation for Breeze, even against Seattle.
Another really, really, really tough one, man.
The guy's thrown for over 2,100 yards. Like, sorry, Newton. Like,
tough roster, not hot roster.
Oh, it's not easy. We're not giving away money.
This one's tough.
Take Breeze, though.
Listen, the Panthers just drilled the Cardinals last year in the NFC.
Revenge game.
It is a huge revenge game. I am almost inclined to believe that Carolina does it again. But what did you tell me earlier in the week on Morency Unfiltered? I've got to cut my ties with the Panthers.
You did.
I've got to let the sailboat sail off.
It's like Morency, they're the stock that you keep on buying. It's like gold's getting lower and you're, oh, I love it. You know, it looks so good and it's so shiny and fun. But you know what? You turned out you bought fool's gold. That's the Carolina Panthers in your world. You went panning at Knott's Berry Farm instead of investing in a complete brick.
Give me Drew Brees. Give me Drew Brees.
Yes.
All right.
I love panning for gold, by the way.
Charles Clay versus Zach Miller. Charles Clay. Charles Clay. Every week, this new thing, I don't know, I didn't think it would matter, the new injury reports in the NFL.
They matter.
But it really is angering.
Yes.
Everybody's just like, you got to read every damn local paper to find out who's practicing and who isn't practicing. Then you got to figure out, all right, well, this guy never practices, but he plays all the time. Every week, Charles Clay's questionable to doubtful, and he plays every week.
He's got no touchdowns. It's a big concern. You're playing the New England Patriots.
I like Zach Miller.
So do I. Miller has 4 more receptions. He has 50 more yards. He also has 3 touchdowns to Charles Clay. That's zero. What are the Bears going to do against the Minnesota Vikings? I can tell you one thing. They're not going to be going deep a lot. They're going to be lots of hits to guys like Zach Miller, who I think could be their top receiver against Minnesota. I think it's a great matchup. Miller time, baby. Give me Zach Miller against Charles Clay, who will do nothing against the Patriots.
All right. Jason Witten.
Witten the Kitten.
And versus
Gary Barnage.
Now, the quarterback situation has been an erratic one throughout the week. I said earlier Kevin Hogan could get the call, so I guess McCowan is good to go right now, which should be good news for Barnage.
Great call. With Barnage.
We've been waiting for Barnage to break out. I actually like Barnage this week.
So do I.
I think he's a dark horse.
Hey, Jason Witten is fantasy irrelevant. Want to know why? Because it's the Dak and Zeke show in Dallas. They run the ball, they're pounding it, and it's been successful.
And when Dak throws it, he throws it to Beasley.
Yeah, exactly. And now you're talking about the situation with Barnage. It's a better situation for Gary. I love that name, Gary Barnage. Sounds like some kind of lawyer you'd pick up in Buffalo, Morency, after
Gary,
a bad day.
Gary's just a solid name.
Yeah, Gary Barnage.
If I had a son, I would consider naming him Gary.
What, Gary Morency?
I should note, though, in my shadier days, that was my alias.
Oh, what?
Gary Brown.
Oh, so when you checked into a hotel, you were Gary Brown.
When I did a lot of things, I was Gary Brown.
Sorry. I love when Camera 2 talked out there. Hey, thanks for your sandwich, by the way, Camera 2. Tell your girlfriend I really enjoyed the peppers. And I enjoy Gary Barnage even more. Great situation with McCown throwing. Actually, with McCown, Morency, over 30 yards receiving all the time, almost averaging a touchdown a game, too. McCown and Barnage, that's the law firm you want. Sorry, Witten the Kitten. I love you, but your time has passed. Barnage,
it is. All right.
Barnage.
Andrew Luck, over under 20 and a half fantasy points, third in the National Football League in passing yards, 14 touchdown passes, averaging 21.41 fantasy points a year this year, and his wide receiver core getting a little bit healthier. Taking on a Kansas City Chiefs team, good defense, but the Chiefs can give up yards through the air. I actually think this game's going to be a pretty high-scoring game.
So do I. I love where you're going with this, Morency. You talk about Luck third in the NFL, 2,074 passing yards, 14 passing TDs, that's third. Averaging 21.41 fantasy points. Luck second behind Matt Ryan. He has 149 fantasy points on the season. To Morency's point, listen, we talked about Big Ben torching these guys. 5 touchdowns and 300 yards versus the Chiefs, and Drew Brees tossed for 367 and 3. You can actually have success against the Chiefs. And if one guy's going to do it, it is one Andrew Luck. The number's 20 and a half on Hot Roster. I think he gets to 23. Like the over, buddy.
I like the over as well. But conversely, I also think Alex Smith is going to light it up. And I think that Macklin and company, I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
He's not on our list on Hot Roster, though. It's Andrew Luck over under 20.5. Right, buddy?
He isn't. May the winners be yours, Cam.
And yours, Morency.
The kid is hot tonight.
Whoa.
Game time decisions. Let's rock. It's time for Pat Mayo's Super Lock of the Week. Now sitting at 4-3 after 7 weeks. Let's keep it rolling before we get to the Super Lock. Let's kick around a couple of football games. Pat, me and Cam Stewart were just talking about this Raiders and Bucks game from a fantasy perspective. And I like Winston a lot this weekend.
Winston's the chalky guy. When I looked at the DFS ownerships from Thursday night, by far the highest owned quarterback.
Stacked with Evans.
So, highest owned receiver. It makes a lot of sense. It's a high game total, and the Raiders just have no defense. I will say that if they're
giving up over 300 yards a game in a year,
but the Raiders also have the 28th ranked run defense per DVOA. So Jaquizz Rodgers in his like 30 touches at a decent price as well is probably going to go under owned. So I like Jaquizz Rodgers there too. If you don't play Jameis Evans stack, you just move off of that and go to Jaquizz Rodgers.
This is an interesting football game. Two up and coming football teams. Maybe the Raiders are a little bit ahead in their development with David Carr than the Bucs with Jameis Winston, but I feel this is a winnable football game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Pat, and it's not my super lock of the week, and I'm not even sure it's going to make my top five picks of the week, but if I had to take it, I'd take the Bucs to win.
I'm going the other side. I'm going to take the Raiders in this game. I mean, they've just been road warriors, really, and they're undefeated against the spread on the road. They have yet to cover at home. There's something about getting out of Oakland that they seem to like, and Tampa might be all right, but, I mean, in two good games this year where they played the Cardinals and they played the Broncos, they were awful, and they've beat up on some softies. I mean, Carolina's not super great. They beat up on San Francisco last week. I locked them in last week because San Francisco is terrible, and people didn't seem to realize that. I think the Raiders can squeak one out here. Is it still -1.5 for Tampa Bay?
Buccaneers -1.
Buccaneers -1. Okay, that's moving. I have a pick 'em here right now, so the line is moving. People are jumping on the Raiders. That's the public side, but I do think they win this game.
All right, the Lions and the Texans. The Texans are 2.5-point favorites. The Lions have won three straight games, but the Lions have won these games at home.
Like the Texans. Like the Texans a lot here. Shaves.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler, it's like a stock, Pat. You want to buy low, right?
Yeah.
People are as low as can be. In fact, there's should have given the boys in the booth this heads up, but I'm only thinking about it right now. But there's actually Halloween costumes.
The trash can with
Brock Osweiler, very popular in the Denver area. But Brock Osweiler is a much better quarterback at home than he is on the road. Only 4 yards per passing attempt on the road, over 7 at home. And Bill O'Brien wins games that he's supposed to win, 15-2 straight up. As a favorite last 17 times, 13-3-1 as a favorite against the spread. I think it's a good spot for the Houston Texans who haven't lost at home.
I'm with you on the same side of this. I think that even without J.J. Watt, the pass rush of the Houston Texans is actually somewhat formidable. Clowney looks all right. I don't think that it's at least going to force Matt Stafford to get the ball out very quickly. And although Theo Riddick and Dwayne Washington are expected back, they still don't have any semblance of a run game whatsoever. And you know, they can't play pass defense. They're one of the worst teams in the league. If you give up 4 touchdowns to Case Keenum, Brock Osweiler can take advantage of you, and he has a much better complement of receivers to go along with this. So I'd expect a big day from DeAndre Hopkins, from Will Fuller. C.J. Fedorowicz is a sneaky fantasy guy. The Lamar Miller stuff, yeah, he's a game-time decision now with the shoulder problem. That somewhat worries me, but 2.5. Vegas is telling us that on a neutral field that the Lions are the favorite. I don't think so. Give me Houston.
Yeah, you know what? The better defense with the Houston Texans, and as you mentioned, hopefully Miller can play, but if he doesn't, I think Blue can have success running against this Detroit team. And, the Texans win this game. I like the Texans. The Lions are like the poster boys, though, of mediocrity in the sense that if you look at their record and you look, Pat, they put up 24 points per game. They gave up 24 points per game. They've won 3 in a row. The law of averages catches up. And like we said, I'm with Pat here with the number. Houston should be 3.5, 4-point favorites, not 2.5. Texans win this game.
I have a good trend, too, on Lions games. So sometimes you're like, oh, the team is 7-0 on the road against the spread in their last 7 games, or 1-7 at home in their last 8. Pat Mayo is 5-0-2 against the spread on the Detroit Lions this year. I got them figured out.
Oh, that's a good trend.
So boom,
good trend,
right? Take the Texans.
Well, a lot of trends are true, Pat, but trends from, like, when someone says the last 22 times.
Yeah, great.
Like, when it's a different coach and a different quarterback, trends are really existent for the current coaches. That is a trend. That is a pattern with current coaches. It's no secret, you know, Andy Reid wins all the time off a bye and then loses the following week off a bye.
There's
right?
One of those I'm going against this week, though, because Rex Ryan generally covers against Bill Belichick, but I think the Patriots stomp the Bills this week. Although that game is filled with reverse line movement. The number is dropping. It's down to 5. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I can't figure that out. But my bold predictions of the week to open up the program. My bold prediction is the Patriots score 50 points.
They're going to try. You know, for sure they're going to try.
Like, really, like Brady throws 4 touchdowns minimum in this game.
Yeah, or Blunt scores 4 on the ground because they just get in close and give it to him.
Like, Gronkowski is going to power spike a ball so hard, like, it's going to go through the turf. They say that the stadium's built on, like, a burial ground. There's going to be, like, a football buried down there.
Maybe that's what leads to The Walking Dead. He spikes it so hard, it raises the dead.
I think it's going to be a beatdown. I agree. So, Cards and Panthers, tricky game this one.
This feels like a trap. Doesn't this line not make any sense?
I don't know, Pat. Like, I think the Panthers are going to beat up on him again.
So do I. I'm taking the Panthers as well.
I'm not going to take but it. I lost too much money on the Panthers.
I don't like it at all. I'm absolutely with you with this. When I looked at it, and I always try to think of what I think the spread is going to be before the week. I had this around Cardinals minus 1, Cardinals minus 2, and to see Carolina favored by 3 points, I'm just like, oh, really?
They've been big money burners. The Panthers 1-5 against the spread this year.
Yeah.
They've only covered 1 football game.
Against the Niners. We had that one. Yeah. And they didn't look good in that game either.
Yeah, brutal.
But I like Carolina minus 3 here. I think they do beat the Cardinals.
You know, the Cardinals got beat 45-19 in the conference championship. This is gut check time for the Cardinals.
And that was with good Palmer. Palmer's kind of sucks now.
You know, kidding. They're coming off a 6-6 game. Their field goal kicker missed like a 14-yard chip shot to win a football game. Their confidence is shaky. Every time they try to kick a field goal, every time they go for an extra point, David Johnson is a monster.
He's like the best running back. He's Le'Veon Bell 2.0.
Yeah, so basically he's going to get like 40 touches, and they're going to hope for the best.
I just think that coming off the bye week, it gave Carolina a chance to get right. It gave Cam a chance to, you know, shake off the cobwebs from the concussion that he suffered like 3 times this season. I just think they're going to look a little bit more like the Panthers. I don't think they're anywhere close to the team they were last year, clearly, but they can be closer to that than they've proved all season.
Another team coming off that 6-6 tie last week, although it was more like a win for them in the Seattle Seahawks, going to New Orleans. I like the Saints here. I don't love the Saints, but I do think the Saints are going to beat the Seattle Seahawks. I think the Seahawks have a lot of problems as well.
All right, so I do not think the same way as you. I don't think it's a blowout, and I think that the rumors of this game being low scoring are not true. I think that
it's going to be a track meet.
I think the Saints are going to be able to score the ball.
Yeah, the total's too low at 48.
Yeah.
They take the over 48.
It seems like it is too low, but I just think that the biggest advantage that one team has in this game is, despite the fact that there is no pass protection coming from Seattle right now for Russell Wilson, they're going to be able to run the ball down the throats of the Saints. So I don't love Russell Wilson for fantasy. I love Christine Michael.
Yeah.
He is going to go bananas. And they're going to force Jimmy Graham to get a touchdown as well in that revenge narrative back in New Orleans. This is my super lock. I like Seattle minus 2.5. I think they probably win by 3. They might win by 5, something like that. However, I do think they win the game. They've only lost once so far this year. New Orleans isn't all that great. They've only covered 1 game at home, undefeated on the road against the spread, which is kind of crazy considering it's New Orleans. They are a team that's been very consistent. Not a lot of variance in that offense. I do think Seattle's defense can possibly generate a turnover with the number of times that Drew Brees is going to have the ball, but I do like the over, and I really like the Seahawks minus 2.5 on the road. I just don't think they lose, and if I don't think they're going to lose, 2.5 is a great number for me.
This is an interesting situation here for the Seattle Seahawks. They don't play a lot of early games because they're a big-time team.
They get prime time. They get flex in that 4
West
o'clock
Coast
game.
Team plus. So they don't play a lot of games, and this caught my eye. Russell Wilson, 9-8, 1 o'clock Eastern start time game, straight up. He's won 9 times. He's lost 8 times playing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast. All other games, 42-11.
Is New Orleans East Coast or is it Central?
It's Central.
So he gets that hour.
It's an hour.
He gets
it's
the hour.
It's an hour difference. But it's basically, it's a 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a 1 o'clock.
It's an early game.
It's an earlier game,
It's a 2-hour difference for him as opposed to 3.
That's better. Can't hurt. You get the extra hour of sleep in.
If it gets you through the night, Pat, if it makes you feel better.
I know.
I know.
I really like Seattle here. I just think they're a far superior team. Like, New Orleans isn't very good. They're all right.
They play hard, though. They haven't quit.
I agree. They play these close games, but if this line's going to be
4-2 against the spread,
minus,
the Saints.
Minus 2.5 is such a small number, and Vegas has overreacted to a lot of these games. Like, on a normal week, if these games weren't going the other way, like, I think there's 8 games with 3 points or less this week in terms of spread. Normally, this is a 4.5, 5.5 game for Seattle. It's not. They have to win by a field goal. I think they win. I think they win by a field goal. I'll take Seattle.
I like the over a lot in this game. We got to get out of here. We'll come back with our plays of the day and a millionaire maker lineup for you. wants to be a millionaire? I do. I do. Remember the episode of The Simpsons when that dude trades a Corvette convertible for a Krusty Burger, and he eats the Krusty Burger, and he goes, I've got buyer's remorse. I've got buyer's remorse, and I haven't even clicked DraftKings yet. But we'll tell you why in a second. Let's start off, though, with Jameis Winston. The thing I like about Winston here is there's a lot of other quarterbacks this week that have put up big numbers. Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, etc. But they're all expensive. Winston, $5,700 in a football game that I expect to be a track meet. The Raiders give up over 300 yards a game in the air. Everybody lights them up. I think Winston does here, too. LeGarrette Blount, speaking of lighting them up, there's a perfect segue right there. The blunt. We're going to smoke some blunt, and we're going to lay the $5,300 in this spot. This is going to get ugly. It's going to be a rout. Brady's going to throw for like four touchdowns in the first half, and then LeGarrette Blount will run for like two more in the second half. It wouldn't surprise me if Brady throws for 350 and Blount runs for 150. Freeman. I like Freeman in this spot, man. He's going to be Ryan will dump the ball off to him. Freeman's starting to get into the form, and the Packers defense is pretty beat up this weekend. I'm going to stack Evans with Winston, Julio Jones. I'm spending big money this week because I feel like it. Montgomery, $5,300, going to be involved. This game's going to be a real shootout. Doyle. It's a Doyle time. I think there's going to be some points put up on the board here. Doyle's putting up nice fantasy numbers for cheap. I like Barnage this week. I like the Browns to beat the Jets, and I think Barnage is going to score a touchdown and give us some numbers. But with all these injuries, take a look at if Miller's out, Alfred Blue is somebody that I might want to get into my lineup here. Chargers defense, better than people realize. Joey Bosa's a sack machine, and I think they're going to beat Denver in an upset. So give me the Chargers defense. All right, let's get to our plays of the day, World Series. Listen, whatever. The Cubs can win, Ferris Bueller and Twist and Shout and all that crap, whatever. Enjoy yourselves. Pay $1,500 to get into a bar. I'm going to enjoy it, too, because I'm going to lay the run and a half. Go Cubs. I love the Cubs. Love the city of Chicago, and I love the Cubs. Give me the Cubs, plus 1.5. Navy, plus 6.5. I do like Navy. These guys are road warriors, man. Give me the over 65 in this football game. Air Force in Fresno State. I'm taking Fresno because I'm a stupid idiot that's a degenerate gambler. Give me Fresno plus 14.5. Air Force in Fresno goes over 51. Put more on the over because Fresno are terrible. NBA basketball, payback's a bitch. Cavaliers in a flat spot right now. Toronto Raptors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Give me the 3 points in this basketball game. Give me the Los Angeles Lakers. I told you the Lakers are to play. The other night, the Lakers are to play. Tonight, Utah might win this game, but not by 9.5 points. Give me the Pelicans plus 11 against the Golden State Warriors. And give me the over in that game as well. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.